All right, we're off to a great start. Hello and welcome to Battle of the Ranking Factors featuring On Par Digital and Deep Web SEO. Today, our topic is FAQ Schema, an SEO story. We're going to get real dramatic. Everyone's going to have their best narrator voices. And we're going to tell a very thorough story about FAQ Schema, its spamminess, how we've seen it work. And then we're actually just going to review Google's guidelines because they tell you how to use it. And if you're not using it that way, you should. First, let's review what structured data actually is and why it matters. Jess, please take it away.
Okay. Well, first of all, when you said narrator voice, I immediately imagined like a very deep male voice. And I'm glad I didn't pull it out because it'd be embarrassing for me.
That's your internalized misogyny.
Yes. I know it is. It's really bad. Structured data is going to just be the way that HTML in the back end of your page is organized in tags specifically to help Google read that better. I think I've described it to you before, Connor, at one point in time as like 3D glasses for Google to put on to yep. then get a better understanding of what your page is about. If I was competing with Bert in some sort of real estate market game, it'd be, you know, me taking up more room in the SERPs or in our town by putting my name all over property versus his, you know, sales pitch of whatever he's got going on. It's important, you know, to help give Google more context. I've actually kind of feel like we'll talk about this more, but it's more beneficial for certain businesses and websites than others. But it's still important to be considering as part of your strategy and website and platform design, and can be optimized via SEO. I don't know what else, if you guys have anything to add. That was my very roundabout way of explaining.
I think the one thing that you said that I want to point out to those who are unfamiliar with it entirely is that the biggest benefit that it will have for your website is that it will take up more space on Google. So traditionally you have your like one link that is your homepage or whatever page you're talking about. But with certain types of structured data that you implement for those specific pages, you can then take up 4 or 5 spots, or at least the space that those spots would occupy with your SERP result, whatever it might be, and just like overtake your competitors. So I think that's the biggest thing and the biggest benefit to having certain types on various pages on your site. But today we're going to talk about FAQ schema specifically. So Bert, please explain to us exactly what FAQ schema is, and then also allude to how it was spammy and rolled back and lots of issues with it.
Yeah, so FAQ schema was officially announced almost years ago now. In 2018 was the official announcement at Google I/O, and then in 2019 they kind of finally made that big push to say these are actually going to help deliver like rich results, which is what Jess and Connor have both now mentioned, talking about these capitalizations of like capitalizing on space in the SERPs with different features. Like we all know all of our wonderful SERP features that we like to see. We like to see the feature snippets. We like to see, you know, FAQ results. We like to see events. We like to see all these things that come into the SERPs when we're searching for certain things. And as of 2019, Google officially pushed that to be for how to an FAQ related schema markup to actually be a rich result. What that meant was people started to realize that there was ways to actually game the system, and they could have a blog post talking about one thing and then answer a billion different questions in the back end with this schema markup that essentially wasn't even on the page at the time. That's where it starts to get a little dodgy, where they could then stretch out their result so that their one little blue link then had a drop down of featured snippets or SERP features underneath them, not necessarily featured snippets, of all these drop down links of questions that were similar in related topic, but not necessarily related. and essentially would push away their competition. It got very, very, very bad for a short period of time before Google actually kind of came in to knock it off because it was being abused so much. But it essentially became what was in the old SEO days, keyword stuffing into your meta keywords tag, where you would just pummel in a bunch of words and hope that Google would then rank you for them without actually having any context to them. That was kind of the push for FAQ schema in the late of 2019, when people started to realize that this was a really powerful asset to utilize, not only for impressions, but also to conquest your competitors. So it became that next big push of spammy SEO, and we started to see it everywhere. And it essentially just kind of ruined the SERPs, in short, for a very brief moment in time. But that ended up leading to what Google does best, and that is they responded, they did something, and we can tie that into the next question, which is what they actually said to do this and how to do this, because they finally established a clean and concise guidelines to what to do with FAQ markup. Because even though there's some guy in LinkedIn that'll still tell you to do it this way, it's wrong. And Google has very specific guidelines to how to utilize it and to better use it for your site.
Yep.
So Connor, you want to chime in a little bit on what some of those things may be, what those actually are?
Yep. And before we get to the actual guidelines, I want to recommend a tool. If you are looking to create pretty much any structured data, use technicalseo.com. They have a structured data builder that will, you just put in the various fields that you need to put it in. You don't need to write it from scratch. It's great. Highly recommend that tool. But essentially with FAQ schema, you need to follow a couple clear rules for it to work. The one most important rule is that the questions and answers within your structured data need to be present for users to see on your page. If you have FAQ schema that's answering certain questions, but those questions also aren't answered on the page in the same way, then it's not going to show up. It doesn't work. It goes against Google's guidelines. The other thing to keep in mind is that you need to have one answer to a question. So there's actually two different types that you can implement. Traditional FAQ page is where you have a question and then you have a single answer. And then there's a different type of FAQ called QA page, where you have a question and then you can have alternate answers to that question. So there's two different types. Depending on what the purposes of your page are, you need to use the appropriate type. But just make sure that anything that you're putting in your FAQ markup needs to also be viewable to users on the page. Otherwise, like I said, it's not going to work. It does not benefit you.
Most importantly, make sure it actually is relevant. It actually matters to the topic that you're talking about. I feel like that is so commonly overlooked, and it's not, it makes sense to your commonsensical brain, but it is something that so many people are still trying to just say, I'm just going to add some more in here to hopefully, you know, get some search results, but it's not the case. Google knows.
Yep. So I also want to move now to any specific instances that we've seen work or perform well when it comes to implementing FAQ schema. Shocker, if you have an FAQ page, you should probably have it on your FAQ page. That's the one that I've seen the most success for. There are times where you can implement it on other pages, though. Jess, do you have any examples?
I know that in the past, there's been some tests done on like about us type pages, because sometimes your about us page might have some sort of question and answer. That's had such varying success, though, where sometimes, you know, if you're checking every single day, you'll see that those, you know, snippets are popping up, and then you can check, you know, later that afternoon, that morning, and they've fallen off. So varying success, but inconsistent as well. I know some, you know, websites won't necessarily have a need for specifically an FAQ page. It depends on the type of business that you have as well. Sometimes, you know, having a FAQ page might make more sense for your business. If you have a lot of, like, you know, a handful of very commonly asked questions and answers. But if you have kind of, I think, a bigger business where you're fielding a lot of different types of topics or things like that, an FAQ page might be a little bit too big or too long. And that's why I think I've seen that kind of fall into that about us section instead of just some general things there. I know we're not talking about it today, so I won't go into depth about this. This will be for another episode. I've actually seen more success with other types of schema and markup versus FAQ. But to your point, you know, all in all, I'd say sometimes about us page works, or whatever your kind of, you know, story page might be. Again, you have to have that question and answer somewhere within that text on that page, though. But most commonly, it's most successful with a dedicated FAQ page that then has FAQ schema.
Yeah, I agree. I think homepages also, there's certain businesses, it's not relevant for every business, but I think some, like MozCon, for example, if you want to think about MozCon, they literally have an FAQ section on the homepage for MozCon. Like that would make a whole lot of sense. I don't think it has it, but I could be wrong. which is kind of funny. Bert, examples.
Yeah. So, and I'm actually going to tie into Jess's last note of not seeing as much success as of recent with it as well. Cause guess what? Google's going to Google, but, other places we've seen some great success, with some of my clients in the past is location pages, which I know there's a lot of conversation about how location pages in general can be handled to be obviously most beneficial to users. But when you're talking about a given office location for a business, in a destination city where there is commonly asked questions about things in that city that we can happily and easily address on those location pages, we've commonly seen a lot of success because we can tie in to what people are asking about that city and that specific market without giving away what the business of this client does. It has proven to be very successful. Obviously, maintaining the notion that it's unique to every single page. You're not replicating the same questions and answers on these pages. And maintaining commonly asked questions, frequently asked questions that people are actually searching that are relevant to those locations. So, you know, if I'm talking about an office in Sydney, Australia, things that people are actually asking about that market in Sydney, where we can address that, because those are big destinations. We didn't do it on everything. We didn't do it on all locations. We're going to ignore that one, but we,
so but we did do it on
We're the most professional around. It's fine. But you know, on our bigger cities, we did do it and we did see a lot of success. But to Jess's point of maybe not seeing as much success recently, drum roll to what Google did on April 5th of this year. Once again, Google search has started showing fewer FAQ. Essentially, it's Google doing what Google does, and that's refining the process, and it's making sure that it's now, even though they have established great guidelines, they have laid it all out there for what's best to do with FAQ markup, they realize that, hey, they still need to dial it back a little bit because there's so many people utilizing this feature to the point where sometimes SERPs were still unusable because there were so many results that just had multiple dropdowns underneath them. So there is a way to actually look and monitor that in Google Search Console. You can go under search appearance. So if you had a page that's been performing incredibly well, you can see as of April 5th and beyond, there's probably a bit of a downtick just because of how Google started to report and altered what it was displaying. It's just like everything else we see in Google, either content changes or, you know, algorithm updates. This is another one of those things in that great Google sphere of changes. And as of April 5th of this year, it's officially become, I would say, almost 25% less being actually seen because they're trying to really just only show where it's relevant. We all know that Google is very good about pinpointing search query and user intent. So it's only going to show it when it really is most applicable now. It's not necessarily showing that FAQ rich result to everyone like it was at one point.
Yeah.
Something else I feel like we just should mention too is I've had some horror stories of, not horror stories, but if you guys were to look at a page, and there's some topics where I can see why, as you know, a marketer, you might think that this is okay, where I've seen how to and FAQ schema attached to a single page. And that might be because, you know, let's say that there's a page about maybe a broken screen repair where there's a FAQ and a how-to section on that page. And the other thing to think about too is, you know, Google wants it to be very clear cut, and to better understand that, you need to be very concise with kind of if you're using one or the other, I think, in terms of seeing success, potential success there. So if you're seeing an opportunity where you have a page that could fall to maybe another type of markup or schema markup, think about maybe what's actually most applicable to that topic, or if you need to split that page up.
Yeah, that's well said. I think, okay, so what I want to do is go through both of your closing thoughts. Before I get there, though, I think what we can all agree on is that FAQ structured data should probably just be on FAQ pages, plus other pages that have very clear single questions and single answers, very relevant specific pages. Not every page, just don't do that. You're going to get in trouble. And those questions all have to be seen by users on the actual page, because if it's not, it's just another way of keyword stuffing and hiding content. And we all know hiding content is never okay. So that's, I think, summarized. If you listen to any part of the episode, just listen to that like 30 seconds and you'll be fine when it comes to FAQ schema. Okay, final thoughts, Bert, go.
Use it sparingly, use it correctly, and use it honestly. Well, I think said. Is all that needs to be said about it.
Yep. Jess?
He said it so much better than I could ever say it.
Don't give him that much credit.
But definitely, you know, use it where it's most applicable and where you want to add that kind of kapow to. That doesn't mean every single page or multiple.
Yes, agreed. Okay, cool. For Jess and Bert, I'm Connor. Feel free to subscribe, give us 5 stars, but only give us 5 stars. Don't give us any other amount of stars. Whatever. Feel free to listen to the podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts, and make sure that you listen to it next week when we talk about something else in the SEO world. Dot, dot, dot. Bye.
So mysterious.
Mm-hmm.